His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 50 days of Easter.
That's not going to stop me from going down to the Pentagon and praying for our men and women. I just won't be participating in their formal function.
The idea that if we just be nice, we can build bridges and break down barriers is a Western notion that's based on an ignorance of what the vast majority of people in Islamic countries are taught.
Religious freedom and pluralism necessarily involve discussing, questioning, and even criticizing each other's religions or beliefs.
We need to hear from the pulpit that Christ saved us completely. He's not there to woo us. He's not there to show us how pretty he is. He's done the saving.
I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer, and I love Issues Etc.
We say that we have so little of this privacy, solitude, silence, downtime. We don't make much of it either, at least I don't. In an ever-connected, always plugged-in world, it is frankly addicting to check the email, to look for the messages that are coming in, to make some go out, to stay connected with friends, even if it's a virtual connection. And we're told that this increases our productivity and our creativity. Is that true? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, May the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to begin today's program talking to Colleen Carol Campbell about both the impact of our 24/7 media culture on creativity and the selection of Solicitor General Elena Kagan to be a member of the U.S. Supreme Court by President Barack Obama. And then, in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc., something long awaited by our listeners, one of our favorite guests and longtime guests and friends of the program, Dr. Norman Nagel, returns to Issues Etc. He suffered a stroke in 2008, wasn't able to be with us since we came back on the air. So we took the show to him and earlier this week interviewed him about the ascension of Christ. That's coming up here in about 10 minutes. Colleen Carol Campbell is a regular guest. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. She hosts a weekly TV program called Faith and Culture, and she's author of the book, The New Faithful. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
As a social conservative, what's your reaction to the nomination of Elena Kagan by President Barack Obama for the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, I think Kagan's nomination is pretty predictable in terms of the type of justice we can expect her to be. She has no judicial experience, which I think is somewhat unusual, but I think in terms of her background, we can expect pretty down-the-line left-wing positions on most issues. What little we have seen of her expressed opinions, and she's been very careful not to express too many, pretty much lines up with left-wing orthodoxy. And I think probably we've got another left-leaning judicial activist on the bench.
The one thing that stands out in Kagan's career is during her time as dean of the Harvard Law School, she had a run-in with military recruiters and at one point banned military recruiters, she said, because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and she lost, and yet still even afterwards encouraged protest of the military recruiters. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, she was very clear on this one issue, and as I said, she's been cautious not to express personal opinions on other issues, but she was very clear on this one that she thought it was, I think her words were a profound moral wrong, something along those lines, which is what she thought of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. So clearly she has a very firm point of view when it comes to homosexuality in the military and homosexuality in general. Obviously, it is one that, you know, lines up with the president's views on these issues, and I think it's going to be interesting to ponder how this might affect her ruling on same-sex marriage, which, as we all know, is sort of making its way to the Supreme Court. I think everyone believes that's where the issue, fortunately or not, will probably be settled will be at the nation's high court. And I would guess she would probably be a vote in favor of same-sex marriage. Can't guarantee that, of course. And as I said, she has been very cautious not to put her own opinions out there. I think, you know, from all reports, she's wanted to be a justice since high school. So maybe she was smart that way in terms of not expressing her opinions, because we all know the less we know about a nominee, the more likely they are to run the gauntlet and get through. But that's not necessarily a good thing for the American people to have no idea who these people are that we're putting up for lifetime appointments, whether it be on the left or the right.
Well, I know as a relatively new mother of twins, you probably have a new appreciation for downtime and quiet and silence and some solitude. We're told and encouraged by our culture today to stay busy all our waking hours, not to waste a second, and to multitask, to multi-communicate constantly. Is this good for us? And we're told this is productive and creative. Is this good for our creativity?
I don't think it is. And, of course, I wrote my St. Louis Post-Dispatch column this week on this topic. And one of the reasons I did so is I was intrigued by a report on new brain research that's been coming out, among other places, from the University of New Mexico, where scientists who are trying to track the creative process in the human brain are finding that creative insights tend to spring from a slowing down and derailing of our habitual thinking patterns rather than speeding up. And this got me to thinking about the connection with technology, since we spend so much of our day jabbering on a phone, staring at a screen, addicted to the BlackBerry, whatever, checking our email compulsively, whether we're at work or on vacation. All of this, you know, as you said, I think we're encouraged in our 24/7 media environment to believe that we're staying connected, and this is very important for our productivity and creativity. But I think it actually creates sort of an attention deficit problem for workers that can actually be a problem with productivity. But maybe more importantly, I think it prevents us from having that kind of quiet and genuine leisure that actually gives birth to some of our best thinking in terms of solving problems, and also just creativity in general. And this affects, I think, the arts and entertainment as well as politics and public life. And that's why in my column I quoted some advice from novelist Flannery O'Connor, who I think was very prolific in her letters on the subject of creativity and how to nurture it. And I think she would have certainly taken a dim view of our constantly plugged-in state today.
It's hard to do. There is, without a doubt, something that appeals to the addict in each of us about the being plugged in, about being in communication, even if it's virtual communication. And kind of always connected. So how do you break free?
Well, it's a good question. If you figure it out, maybe you can clue me in. I'm as guilty of this as anyone. As someone who works from home, you know, it's very tempting when I'm working on a column or a longer writing project to constantly flip over and check my email. And I really have to not do that, and that's difficult. Of course, when we're trying to multitask, which is sort of the definition of motherhood, if you're trying to do any work on the side, it's always a state of constant interruption. So some of this is just the way life is. But I think the importance of actually just getting away from technology altogether for periods of time, a little bit every day, and then certainly on our vacations, actually unplugging and just saying, hey, I'm not going to be available for the next week, sorry, you know, to the world. Because it's amazing, if you stay away from your email and your voicemail and all of the rest of it for a little while, you'll notice you're not nearly as indispensable as you think you are. At least that's what I've found. And so I think that's important for rejuvenating ourselves spiritually as well as creatively, is unplugging and spending some quality face time with our loved ones instead of always virtual time with virtual acquaintances.
Finally, with only about a little bit less than a minute, do you think that the instantaneous nature of modern communication and connection also makes us less patient in other matters of life?
I think it absolutely does, and I think you can see that just with driving around. I mean, of course, most people are talking on their cell phones as they drive, which is a problem in and of itself, but there is a lot of impatience in our culture, and it's interesting that the more quickly we have access to things, the faster things move, the more impatient we do become. I think that's very much just the human nature, our fallen nature, more once more. But also, I think we have a difficulty hanging in there and focusing our attention for any length of time on things. And this is, again, I think, a function somewhat of the technology that we're inundated by, and that we're constantly getting instant messages and instant feedback on everything we do. And so when we are in a situation where we can't control the timing of that feedback and get that sort of instant response to what we're doing, I think we become much more demanding and unhappy about it than even maybe 10, 20 years ago we would have been, when that wasn't our expectation and we were content to wait a minute and actually, you know, just sit, say, in the doctor's office and not pick up the magazine and not watch the cable news ticker and not talk on the cell phone, just sit for a moment. I think those kind of snatches of quiet time might be all some of us can get some days, but actually even just consciously embracing those few moments that we can get and refusing to fill them with a distraction might be a good step toward slowing down and getting some of this downtime back.
Colleen Carol Campbell writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. She's host of a weekly television show called Faith and Culture, and she's author of the book, The New Faithful. You can find a link to Colleen's columns under the Listen on Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. Colleen, thanks.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
All right, when we come back, you might have noticed it's Ascension Day, Thursday, May the 13th. The church is celebrating Christ's ascension into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God. The promise is he will come again. Dr. Norman Nagel is one of the favorite guests of our listeners, and for a long time we haven't been able to have him on. He suffered a stroke in 2008. Finally, we figured out that he didn't have to come to us. We could go to him, and that's what we did earlier this week. We went there, we wanted to talk to him about the ascension of Christ, and when we come back, that interview with Dr. Norman Nagel, Professor Emeritus of Systematic Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, for you on this Ascension Day. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org, or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.